The 2017 AFL season is proudly brought to you by Toyota. Toyota footy. Oh, what a feeling. Triple M footy is the number one football call on radio. And your front row.
The Fiat Professional. With versatility and a 660-kilo payload, Fiat Doblo is your right-hand van. Welcome to the Triple M Saturday Rub.
For McDonald's.
Triple M rocks footy.
Oh, we're at the MCG. Looking forward to this one too. These two clubs have provided us with some of the great entertainment over the last 10 years. The Cats and the Hawks at the home of football Saturday afternoon. Traditional slots, sun shining. It's all good as we get into the Triple M box Saturday arvo style. Gil McLachlan going to join us in about half an hour. Plenty going on at City Hall, of course. We're going to find out all about that. Ben Stratton, very interesting young man, three-time premiership player. In fact, he might even be four Strats, I reckon, for the Hawthorn Footy Club. Lots going on in his life, too, that we need to get around. He's got a nice reptilian styling, which I, of course, like. Matty Scarlett as well. Superstar, three-time premiership defender for the Cats and the Vault. At an earlier time of 12:20, I understand an injunction taken out last week, Bristol.
Yes, successful injunction, yep.
I understand that injunction's been thrown out, but Damo's got more on that. So at about 12:20, we go again. Oh, nice to be back. Hello, Brian. Anything going on?
And you're back from the Flinders Rangers,
back from the Flinders Rangers.
Just a couple of weeks off in the middle of the footy season.
I wander back in, Bristol, and all hell's broken loose. What the hell is going on?
Oh, it was a bit loose last week, I think.
Crikey. Did you keep the ship nice and tight, Brian?
No, Duck was doing his best work to try and keep it tight, but
Nathan Brown filled in beautifully.
Nathan would have done a great job.
Did a really good job. Now, bad news for you today, BT, because we have had some success in our challenging of your injunction. I was called in on two separate occasions with the management there during the week, and we've managed on the second occasion to have it lifted, so we are free to go with the Bolt.
I have fired my legal team.
Well, you needed to after last one.
I've had a gut full of them.
Seriously, it did reach some legal impediments, Jim, but yes, we have waded through them. What about BT2s, Jim? Just I overheard this, and I don't normally like revealing conversations. I do eavesdrop in on.
Don't go with non-truths.
BT was talking to the big nose producer, Luke Tunnicliffe, about a private little arrangement that he might have had, and I did hear these words, and I think you heard them too, Doug.
I did.
Would you like to buy Roman Bryan?
Now, this is not true. This is completely
selling off some of your own property.
Would you like to buy?
It's for sale.
Listen, this was a conversation
that I've overheard.
That was a fun conversation.
No, it wasn't.
And
no,
a piss-take conversation.
No, you were talking about commercial deals.
Have you registered Roaming Bryan?
No.
Have you?
No.
Why did Luke ask you if you had?
Oh, I don't know.
I think Luke was interested.
Just chisel that bit off, Bristol, and maybe see if there's DeWalt Tools or someone that might jump on the back of it.
You wouldn't have seen the banner last night, though. I tell you what, it's becoming a brand in itself because last night
the Roma
on the banner again. That is two banners in 4 weeks for Roaming
really?
Bryan. Yes.
What was it last
Roaming
night?
Roaming Bryan.
Friday night, Bryan.
It was, what was it last night?
I don't know, Duck. You're telling the story.
You do so know what it said.
I didn't see it.
It was about Orazio Fantasia. Roaming Bryan. Your favourite,
You can tell
player
when the story's true, can't you, Jim? When he starts to slump.
He gets all sort of quiet about it and everything.
Not true.
Move on. What we need to do, Purple, is, of course, at some stage, something's got to filter back to Triple M. Because what people forget is that we started all of this with Whispering Bryan a good 15 years ago. Before any television station had even thought about working out whether it would work, we sent Bristol down to the rooms. He interviewed blokes on the radio that weren't even there. He would just be quietly talking to them and then go, look, he's had to whisk off into a meeting, so we're unable to. Brian didn't realise is we had the locked-off camera. Whoever he was talking to was nowhere near him. Anyway, I'll just walk along here and see if I can find someone else.
Roaming, sort of pulling people out of the crowd last night. He was doing all sorts of stuff.
That's why it's gold.
He was really roaming.
That's why it's gold in television. Well, we'll see if that works for you, Bristol. What about last night? I missed the previous week, as we discussed, because I was out of range and didn't see any footy, but St Kilda must have been as good last week as they were bad last night. And that would be, for your mate Alan Richardson, Bristol, Matt, that must be the thing that keeps him awake. How can you be so good And then last night, you know, down 15 contested, down 18 tackles, down 48 marks in a game that, you know, was a statement Friday night game, he would be bitterly disappointed.
He would be really disappointed with that. On 9 wins at the moment, still reasonably placed, but...
Bad percentage.
Yeah, and going into that game, that was just a must win for them if they were going to do any damage this year. They had to beat a team like Essendon. They couldn't get it done. Not just couldn't get it done, they were comprehensively beaten in all fronts. They just couldn't provide scoring opportunities, St Kilda.
Yeah, I agree. The Bombers won hands down in all facets of the game. They were just far superior. They look quicker. And the Saints, once again, big challenge. I agree. They had to win that game because if you look at their next month, BT, it's a tough month. Yep. They might not win a game in the next month. If they get two of the next four, I reckon that's a good effort by the Saints. And for me, that probably doesn't get them into the finals. And given last night, albeit how good they were the week before, they're probably just off. They're probably not quite ready. They're probably a year away from being a finals team, BT, if you look at last night.
And they need their absolute best team to be working. They need Membry to be playing. They needed Longer to be playing rather than perhaps Hickey, who had spent seven or eight weeks on the sideline and was a bit rusty as a result of it. They're not a team that can afford to have many players out. I'm not saying that would have made the difference last night, because it wouldn't have.
But let's not take credit away from the Bombers. Yeah. They were comprehensive in that.
Let me ask you this, Doug. Is that style of footy, that, you know, run and stun style of footy, is that sustainable when you get to September? Are you going to win with that big final out here?
It's a great question, because I'll go back to the early 2000s when Port Adelaide was sitting on top of the ladder. They finished on the top of the ladder every year when Brisbane won those flags. And then they got to the finals, straight sets out, because they played that quick brand of footy, you know, that real attacking running, not dissimilar to the Bombers of today. And then when they got to the finals, the pressure goes up, turnover, bang, they're knocked out. I would argue that the thing about the Bombers, I think that their brand of footy, you're right, I thought last night, the reason why I tipped St Kilda was for that exact reason. I thought St Kilda will bring their pressure, and when they bring that, they'll turn it over and they just win off the back of that. They just weren't able to do it, the Saints. No. Now, I don't know whether it was because the Saints were poor in that area, or the Bombers were just really good in the way they went about it.
And the other thing, they could have stayed in touch early in that game by converting better than they have. Their conversion this year, I think they're one of the bottom sides in terms of...
Saints talking about.
Saints conversion. I think they're number 17 in the comp, or could even be 18 in conversion. Just not getting it done in that area either.
And Alan Richardson, your man, BT, spoke last night of the major disappointment coming off the back of that Richmond win.
If you don't turn up with enormous energy and a willingness to defend, a willingness to work, then you're going to get embarrassed, and that's what happened. And that's, in some ways, that's being disrespectful to the Bombers and not giving them enough credit. But, I mean, they were outstanding. We couldn't stop them. They just worked through us way too easily.
I just look at it, Damo. There's a few teams in that middle band for me that are a bit like that. Their best is really, really good. St Kilda's best is really, really good. Richmond's best is really, really good. Melbourne's best is really, really good. You just don't know whether you're going to see it every week.
Yeah.
So that's going to... Well, but when you get to the sharp end, you got to know what you're bringing. Yeah. With those teams, I just don't know that you do. Whereas you know what Geelong bring, you know what Sydney bring, you know what GWS's best looks like.
I think the Tigers have just about gone past that now. I think they're a bit better than...
I think we need to see a response, though, after what St Kilda did to them last week, BT, to get that feeling properly.
But you did see a response in the second half in which they won. So they lost... For the year, they've lost one half of football badly.
No, I'm not giving them anything over the last week.
But I'm just saying.
It could have been 100 points.
But the facts are they outscored them in the second half. I'm not saying that got them out of hot water or anything like that. What I'm saying is they played one really bad half. The other half was average, wasn't great footy, but they won it. So they've played one bad half of footy. I think they're a lot more consistent than they have been in other years and a lot more reliable.
I would put Port Adelaide maybe in that same category. Well, purple. I think their best is really good, but they can cough up a performance.
And when we see the best, don't we, as we did with St Kilda against Richmond, we tend to have in our minds that is going to become the norm. But
Port haven't beaten anyone, though.
But in saying that, BT, if you think back to, and we keep going back to last year because it was a one-off, it had never been done before, win from seventh. All of those teams you mentioned, if they can string three or four of that sort of form that you're talking about, and Richmond have done it this year, Port Adelaide, all those clubs you mentioned, if they can do it, all of those clubs are capable of winning the premiership.
That's why I think Richmond can win the premiership. Because
their best is as good as anyone's.
This is a year similar to other years, not recent years, but you can get a good period going, four or five games in a row, a bit of momentum. They're a great momentum side, Richmond, as well. They've had a lot of players that have had career best years in that side as well, which is a bit of a point of this.
But, Russell, on your measure, if you look who Richmond have beaten, Carlton, Collingwood, West Coast, Brisbane, Melbourne, Essendon, North, Carlton, Port. They haven't beaten anyone either.
Well, they've beaten a few sides and they're challenging, haven't they?
Yeah, but you wouldn't put that as a group of teams that are going to announce you as, finals. So I just need to see a bit more. I'm not saying I don't like what I'm seeing, and who cares whether I do anyway. But the Tigers, for me, have still got a bit to prove.
All right, I think you're all Tiger haters. And,
as have Melbourne, as have Port, as have St Kilda.
You and I, who are the footballers here, are saying that the Tigers are okay.
Their best has been as good as anyone's. But if you look through, Sydney clearly have had an amazing run since the six in a row. They've only lost the one game. Geelong, GWS, Adelaide, they've all had moments. Port Adelaide, I put into that category as well, have all had patches of looking unbeatable.
Mm.
And that's why I think they are all most certainly, and Richmond obviously as well, as we've spoken about.
Well, we'll find out a bit today about certainly the Cats, because for some reason, Purple, there's still a question mark in a lot of people's heads about them. Look where they're sitting.
That patch of three where they had a bad run after they beat the Saints. They had a bad run, and then they won three in a row, but albeit they were all at home. But they were quality opposition at the time. Western Bulldogs, Port, who they just won, got out of jail. And then they were comprehensive against Adelaide to bounce back. So, you know, their best, Geelong, has been, once again, as I said, as good as any other team.
Well, the Saints will be interested to see the response from them. They've got a massive month coming up, as you say. It is huge. Sydney, Port Adelaide, West Coast, Melbourne. I reckon Alan Richardson, Bristol, will look at that month and go, righto, if we serve any of this up that we served up last night, we'll get beaten by all four of those teams.
And that's why they needed to win last night.
The only one in their last six rounds is North Melbourne. In round 22, that you'd say, well, you know what,
probably should beat.
Richmond in the last round. I mean, that is as tough a run home as any team.
And by the way, the Bombers, three of the next four at Etihad Stadium, they do play well at that stadium. Three of the next four games at Etihad for the Bombers, so not without a chance.
It's the perfect storm for them in a lot of ways, Purple.
The Bombers?
Because last year, due to 13 or 14 players being banned from playing, they had this beautiful ability to get the first round, number one pick overall, to get game time into people like Fantasia, who probably wouldn't have played otherwise.
Tip and Woody
and people like that. Yep. And then they'll bounce hard back the next year because they get the 14 back and they get the best draw in the comp.
Yep.
When you finish last, you get the best draw in football.
And that number one draft pick or number one pick you talk about is absolutely having a major impact in his very
season. So they have had a nightmare, Essendon, for a long time, but last year might have been the best thing that could happen to them.
I'll tell you what you don't get last year. If all of those players are back there, Parrish doesn't get the game time in the middle of the ground. Nor does, obviously, you said Fantasia, McDonald, Tip and Woody. Who's the Hartley? He probably doesn't get a game, Hartley. He all of a sudden looks like a really good player.
Jim Kelly, isn't it?
Yeah, so all of these players that, you know, the guy that's having a brilliant year. I've just Merritt.
Well, he doesn't get the leadership,
but he doesn't get the amount of time in the middle of the ground that he got last year. So
it's quite possible that Fantasia wouldn't actually be playing much footy today if he hadn't have got that opportunity.
Exactly,
because it was a pick 55 thereabouts.
He's as dangerous when the ball's in his area.
Yep.
He's as dangerous as anyone at the moment.
What did you say last night about Danaher, Duck?
Danaher, look...
Because he's tracking absolutely beautifully.
Danaher, he's a star. Athletically, you know, he was brilliant. His first touch of the footy, and albeit Hickey had an off night, and he's been, as BT said, he's been in the reserve. So first game back, but he wasn't good. But just to take him on, you know, that first ball that he got, took him on, and then clearly marked the footy really well, kicked straight. He's a star. He's an absolute star. How good can he be? Well, I think the sky's the limit for him.
It is still, is it?
The sky is the limit for him. He's just getting better, and he's getting better and better.
Well, and big-time player too, Duck. The only final he played in was against North in that elimination final. He hit three in the first 40 minutes of the game, and it looked like he was tearing it to shreds.
He won best on ground Anzac Day. Indigenous round, best on ground. Friday night footy last night, had a blinder.
Yep. So the big stage.
He's officially there.
Yep. No, I think there's a lot of excitement with Essendon. The only thing, Bristol, I'm interested in that style and whether it holds. But we won't know until they get there and play.
And just the other one is James Stewart. And a lot of people say, he doesn't get enough of the footy and all that sort of thing. But what he's done is taken the pressure off Danaher to a certain degree. Mm. He's got great athleticism. He does seem to start games really well. I'm not sure why that is. But he just pops up when you need him, James Stewart.
And for all of those people, and we love Alex Rance. We acknowledge him every week. About time everyone starts to acknowledge Michael Hurley. He has been... Mm. Massive. His year has been incredible. Now, let's not forget.
So 30 plus.
30 plus 3 weeks in a row, and then he had 27, 28 last night.
So 30 plus three weeks in a row by a key defender.
Apparently hasn't happened before.
Has never happened in the history of the game. Hmm. So that in itself.
Since stats have been taken. I reckon Ross Glendening and a couple of those might have done it way back when stats were taken. But his year, so last week, Rewalt goes to Rance. Does an amazing job. Tries to do the same thing on Hurley.
Yep.
Doesn't work. No. That tells you what sort of form Hurley's in.
He's amongst the finest interviewers of our time.
I'm unforgettable.
When he's on the clock, Parko, Denton and Oakes take notice.
I am the man.
He's one of the best. This
is about me.
Is Bristol's Vault.
Now, Brian, I've just been to the centre of Australia nearly. To Arkaroola, to Wilpena Pound.
Driving.
The amount of people that came up to me in the middle of nowhere and said, I am committed from 12 o'clock to about 2 o'clock to listen to The Rub every single Saturday. I say, I can't believe it gets out here. I thought you only got the boring AM crap. They said, no, we can access through these big antennas, the FM.
Did you tell them that my missus sold this stuff without my permission?
They know the story about how the tapes got to Triple M, but they say, of all of the things, BT's Vault is as funny as anything I've ever heard, and I never miss it. Mm. This is in Arkaroola, Brian, an old station where they used to run cattle out in the middle of bloody nowhere.
I don't know what to say to that, other than I am a little terse with it all.
All I know is, Brian, your fame tentacles spread everywhere, and so they bloody should.
You might try and sell this too, might you, like Romy Crowe.
1991, 3KZ The Good Sports, is that right?
3UZ.
3UZ The Good Sports. Brian's first
1991,
foray. Brian's first foray into broadcasting, just left Collingwood, captain coach of Paran, all that we know about what happened there. So there's your backstory.
Wrote his book about the Collingwood year.
Interviewed some of the biggest names in global sport, George Foreman being the first one, of course, Nadia Comaneci. And then just turned his eyes, Damo, back locally.
Right.
Now, I want to ask you this. Before we get to this, give me the biggest name in football in 1991.
Well, Hawthorne won that year's flag again. Dermot, maybe. Well,
yeah, but he was right at the end, Dermot. He was almost playing for Collingwood at that
Dermot's
stage.
Dermot's enemy, chief.
Well, the chief had to be, didn't he?
Yeah.
At that time, maybe Gary Ablett Sr. maybe would be the only one that would rival the chief for the biggest name in the game.
Maybe Ablett then, chief.
Yeah, well, there you are. So there's your two. So what Bristol did...
I'll plug a locket.
Well. You will plug it. So there's the big three.
Yep.
Bristol decided at about 5:45 to do something none of us are courageous enough to do.
AM.
And wake the chief up and get him on 3UZ The Good Sports. So enjoy.
One... two, three, four. Just now on 3UZ The Good Sports, we're going to go to one of Hawthorne's best players down there and has been a full forward for the last few years and done very, very well indeed. He's kicked a lot of goals and has been the spearhead down there at Hawthorne. I speak of none other than Hawthorne full forward Jason Dunstall. Good morning, Jason.
Morning, Brian. How are
you? Good. A little bit early for you, perhaps?
Just a touch, mate.
Just a touch. You're still in bed or you're up?
No, I'm up.
Hmm. Okay, well, what about Hawthorne? I mean, the last couple of years, I suppose, especially last year, they were they did very, very well indeed, but just weren't the Hawthorne of old. I sense that perhaps this year, Hawthorne are going to come back with some real fight.
Well, we're certainly hoping to.
Mm.
Well, what about new coach Alan Joyce taking over the reins from Yabby Jeans, of course, and he has coached the side once before to a premiership. Have his methods changed any from Alan Jeans, or are they basically the same style of coach?
I think Alan's style is a little bit different.
Well, what about Andrew Jarman? There's been a lot of talk in recent days about contractual wrangles and all that, which has now been resolved, apparently. What sort of a player is he, and where will he fit into the Hawthorn side?
I think from the practice games already seen, everyone's picked up pretty quickly that he's a very skillful player. Slot him in the centre, I think that'll be a bonus for us.
Well, also on the line, I think, Jason, we've got... are you still there, Jase? We've lost Jason. We've just lost Jason, I think, there, Wayne Brown. So if you can fix that up for us, I'd be very, very happy indeed about that. It's currently 14 minutes to 7 on 3UZ The Good Sports.
The Good Sports on the Greater 3UZ.
We've now picked up Jason Dunstall again, and g'day to you, Jason. Sorry about that.
That's all right. Just went missing for a little while, mate.
Yeah. Jason, Scotty Palmer was just on the line, and he mentioned about the helmet and your own injury. How has that progressed over the last few weeks, and is it safe now to play football without the helmet?
Yeah, I don't have any problems with that now.
Okay, we've been speaking to Hawthorn full forward Jason Dunstall, and we had a little bit of a misfortune in losing Jason there for a couple of minutes, but we've had Jason and both Scotty Palmer on this morning. Really appreciate your time, Jason, and thanks for getting out of bed for us, mate.
No problem.
Good on you. And I'd like to apologise to the constables or the people in blue who pulled me up on the way to work this morning. If they happen to be listening, I'd like to apologise for perhaps nearly breaking one of the road rules. Not quite, but nearly breaking. And I thank you for your prompt attention.
Brian!
don't you rabble on with some crap.
Obviously, speeding on the way to work without... question.
Who is that?
Probably
person?
Doing 20 k's over the limit.
What about Jason, who's kicks 100? Yep. He kicked 100 sort of once, and Jason's kicked.
Plenty of people have done it. No,
but Jason's done it plenty of times. He's got, I've sort of got one of the sort of good players. Yeah. Down there.
Spearhead.
I think a 7-time under goal kicker.
Who's kicked, you kicked lots of goals.
What I love, there's always great takeout for me, Purple. Firstly, the Chief, just a touch early.
Yeah.
And then Brian gives him one of his great 4 or 5 minute long questions. Chief gives it the, we're certainly hoping to.
Yeah.
And then old Wayne, was it Wayne Dunn?
Wayne Brown.
Brown.
Who was only Liberace's tour manager.
And also Bristol's producer. He gets jumped off the line and Bristol just gives it the... And Wayne Brown just picks that up.
Was it Wayne the one who said to him last week, Jim, when there was another line that went down, gave him a sheet of paper, read that.
There's a theme through all of the interviews. Oh. Really short, blunt answers.
That's
so
it.
Turns them right off from the start. And how many have gone missing?
Oh, yeah. No.
Even the Chief went missing.
And this is an era before mobile phones duck. There's a landlines that are going down.
Well, what I'm interested in with this is whether the great Jason Dunstall, and as you say, Duck, at that stage, no bigger name in football, whether this is an interview he remembers doing.
And I reckon he was in bed too, Jim.
Fair chance he won't remember that.
Any recollection of talking to Brian on 3UZ The Good Sports. In fact, we can ask him, because I think we might have him on the line. Chief.
Gents, how are we doing?
Now, do you remember at 5:45 being woken up by Brian in 1991?
I can't say I have a great recollection of it, other than the fact is the only reason I answer the phone is because I thought it was an emergency, because no one would normally ring me at that time of the morning.
What about the line of questioning, Chief?
I should have known what was to come after the rousing introduction he gave. Forward to 62 goals. But the line actually didn't drop out. I fell asleep because of the pedestrian questions that were coming my way. And correct me if I'm wrong, but did he not ask about Andrew Jarman? I couldn't even be bothered telling him it was Darren.
Oh, you're a prick, Chief.
And Chief, your answers were brief.
let's be brutally honest, you can only work with what you're given, Dane. And he wasn't giving me a hell of a lot. I mean, it was, wasn't exactly what you'd call vintage Briser, was it?
Well, we appreciate you jumping on, Chief. Thanks for that.
Always a pleasure.
What is today holding for you, please?
I'm over in your old stomping ground, Jim. I'm in Adelaide as we speak, ahead of the Port Adelaide North game.
Well, see if you can get the Kangaroos up. Please, be nice of you, Chief.
It'd be, well, they've been competitive. They just keep finding a way to gas it at the business end, Jim.
I did roll into Hawker, Chief, in the middle of South Australia, and I had 4 minutes worth of coverage to watch us lose that game. And I'm hearing you. Let's put it that way.
All right. We're just hoping for a good game, mate.
All right. Enjoy.
Cheers, boys. See you, boys.
The great Jason Dunstall and Brad Bristol. That might be my favourite of all.
He was the biggest, and he had the beautiful hair.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit of a mullet, but yep. Just a really nice hair back then.
At that stage, owner of the saloon.
Yeah, he had it all going on. Where's it gone?
You've got to understand that, you know, while he was a good goal kicker, he was speaking to a good goal kicker. I couldn't let him know that he was perhaps really good.
Were you just marking a bit of your territory during that interview?
Oh, I must have been.
I love it. It is time for us to welcome the CEO of the AFL, Gil McLachlan, into the Triple M studios. Welcome, Gil.
JB.
Now, is this the toughest week you've had in your position?
Yeah, probably, yep.
And tell me your own mindset as you're sitting here right now.
Clearly disappointed with the week. Concerned for the four people involved. Doing the best to make sure that they're all coping the best they can. Feeling that they've taken very strong accountable actions, but they've got a hard road to hoe.
When you took the job on, did you ever think that these sort of weeks had come your way?
Oh, listen, the specific stuff. There's always hard things. It's how you deal with them. And I think you look over the journey since I've been chief executive, whether the sort of the Essendon stuff or, losing a coach, the issue around that. There's lots of stuff. So there's different, it's how you respond. The challenge in this one for me has been, clearly is, I'm not going to shy away from that. I was very close friends with both the executives. So there's an extra dimension, but in the end, you've still got to own the right call. And these men have owned that, and I agree with it, and they've taken responsibility for their actions.
All right, I know Damo's got plenty for you. I've got a couple more. Do you ever pause and think, is there going to come a time when I get the level playing field to actually go forward? Because you took over in the middle of the debacle that was, what the Essendon saga had created. And then, as you say, there have been road humps along the way. You must quite shut your eyes every now and then and go, when are we just going to get this thing flat so we can actually go forward rather than play defence all the time?
I don't look at it like that because we're always, this stuff's always, if you're in our league, this is my fourth year. We are on track to break the all-time attendance record. Ratings are at an all-time high. Started the women's league. Community football's up 7%. We've bought Eddie Head. We're hopefully going to do a redevelopment of that. We've got Western Australia, the Perth Stadium coming online next year. We've redeveloped Adelaide Oval. Expansion continues. We've got 30% growth in women's football this year. That agenda is going really well. Our game's in rude health, and our sentiment tracking says the fans have never been as engaged and connected as ever. So the job for me is, because we are this public organisation that is on, the more successful we are, the more these issues become big deals. So I don't expect them ever to go away, because could I contemplate that one of my executives playing a game of community football would have a brain snap and then have to deal with the issues of last week? I could never contemplate that, but I accept it to be part of the role because we are what we are. So the job for me is to be able to make sure that we're getting all the business done and growing and doing all of that, as well as dealing with issues they come up. Because I know if it's been quiet and we're going really well and I haven't had anything, it's just a matter of time.
Okay, but there must be a part of you that says, when is this other crap going to go away so that we can focus on what is an enormously healthy business? I mean, that must be a great frustration.
Well, clearly you prefer it didn't happen, but I accept it to be true. I mean, these things are this week. Last week, the Ali for, and it'll be something else in 3 months' time. That I accept that as the industry, and accept it as the part of actually being the CEO, as well as being able to run the business. I will have to deal with stuff like this, front page stuff all of the time. That has actually always been the case, and it continues to accelerate, that it actually seems to be things that weren't an issue X years ago. I mean, the Ali Fahua one is an example. That wouldn't have been an issue 10 years ago that it is now. But so community expectations and issues change.
All right, let me ask you this. A lot of people watching the occurrences of this week would say, if this is a mid-range consulting firm in Collins Street and this thing happens, the person doesn't get sacked. It's not a sackable offence necessarily. It's a very poor piece of judgment, but the person doesn't get tipped out. Some people would say, if we're starting to tip people out for doing that, then there'll be offices getting emptied all through the CBD because this is being on, going on as long as Adam's a boy. Why is it different for the AFL?
So, I'm not going to sit here and say that inter-office relationships are not appropriate.
No.
There are people in my building now who are going out with each other. There are beyond relationships, there are flings that happen. That happens in the workplace. What is important is the context and the facts. And I'm not going to get into the detail, but there are context and facts in both these situations that mean that both of the guys have owned the decision to resign, because as they looked ahead, as they do the best they can to preserve their relationships and their marriages, and as they look ahead about their responsibility to the organisation, executive members, as they look at their ability to perform their roles in that context, they took the accountabilities. And that is important, distinct to say, it is the ownership of those guys for what's happened and for their mistakes in all of that context.
Gil, you were referencing a moment ago about what once was considered to be an issue in the past to what it is now. Why in 2017, though, with you as the head of this organisation, why have you made this decision the way you did yesterday compared to what you would have done in the past? Just to the layman who may not have caught up with your press conference yesterday.
I don't know that it's different this year to last year or the year before, Damo. It's like where we are.
But why has there been a line drawn on this particular activity today when it could have been drawn in the past, on not just your organisation, in any other organisation?
Well, I can't talk for anyone else.
We'll talk for the decision.
I just did. I mean, like you can.
But I still haven't got a clear answer as to the why.
Well, because I don't know. I'll go through it again for you to say. There is men who've had relationships with younger men, and the context is I'm trying to think. I'm not, because I don't want to talk to the detail about it, because these
younger
guys
own
this.
Women.
Sorry?
You said men, younger women.
Yeah, well, maybe that too, but no, this in this situation, younger women.
Yep.
There's issues around.
So the age is a factor here?
Well, there's issues about power imbalance.
Yep.
There's issues about what. The responsibilities they are to the executive and to the industry.
Yep.
There's issues around the individuals involved, which I'm not going to talk to. There's issues of responsibility, Dame, of actually ownership by the individuals to go ahead and actually repair their relationship. I don't want to talk. I mean, you want to be in the public eye every day, being but they've taken up ownership to deal with the priority for them, which is their marriages. And I think you guys know that you live in the media, and that's decisions for them,
yeah,
as well as the decision and the responsibility of the organisation.
The introduction into the public domain of the women in question too, and how that has happened via initially the Fairfax media last night, Gil. I know you've got no control over this, and probably right now you don't want to be too outspoken on that aspect of it. But did you have a reaction to when the two women in question were also now part of this narrative around this particular issue? And obviously they are a part of it, but the introduction to the public of their names and their lives?
I'm not sure why it's relevant. And the people who do it have got to own their own behaviours.
Have you asked the questions?
No, I'm not, and I don't want to get into it beyond that, other than I've got a duty of care to all four individuals involved, the men and the women, and I'm not, you know, I just ask everyone to respect that how difficult it is for them and to give them the best space they can.
The position that needs to be filled almost by way of absolute priority is the footy operations role. I know you're going to outside source that person. Is it fair to say that it will be someone from a football club?
No, well, there'll be strong candidates. We'll go run the process and get the best possible candidate. Clearly, there's a number of good ones across the clubs. There will be others. We'll run the process for as long as it takes to get the best candidate.
You look pretty flat.
Oh, listen, it's been a very hard week. Everyone knows, as I said before, people know how close I was with those two guys. So it takes a toll, but that's the job.
You had plans to go overseas. I believe you still are. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think so. People have different views. I'm going to go and, I think, take a break for a week. I'd planned it. There's people at the other end have made commitments around me. I've got a family as well. I think I want a week to make sure that I'm fresh and able to do the best job I can in the back half of the year.
Do you think you'll get some criticism for doing that on the back of the week you've had?
I don't care, Damien.
No, no, you honestly don't. But do you think you'll get the criticism?
Well, it's up to you. I don't know. I don't care. Some will. Others will understand. I'm telling you how I'm thinking at the moment, as being as honest as I can.
Move on a little bit to other things, Gil. Just, you mentioned the Perth Stadium. Have West Coast and Fremantle both done deals for that stadium? Is that ready to go in terms of their participation in it?
Being finalised, not quite done. Hopefully it's done this week.
Gil, you mentioned what a great season it's been, and it has been a great season. Every weekend, just so many 50-50 games. To round 23, have you had a look at what may or may not happen there? We obviously know who's playing who, but will there be a Monday night game?
Potentially. It'll be down to the clubs if they want to do it, the home clubs. There has been a couple of clubs talk to it. I know the guys had discussions with Geelong. I think they're at home against GWS. That might work on Monday night down at Geelong. Again, if the clubs don't want to have the home game there on a Monday night, we won't do it. But it could, you know, we think there's got some opportunity to really be an incredible finish to the season. If you imagine Geelong, GWS, at Simmons to potentially decide the orderings of the top four or the top eight, it'd be a cracking way to finish round 23.
All right, Patrick Keane's here. He's already given me half a hairy eyeball to say you've got more commitments somewhere else. So we'll let you go and do that. But we appreciate you coming in. Thanks very much.
Righto, guys. Good luck. Thanks for everything.
Looking forward to the Cats and the Hawks. Some late changes in this game, Damo.
Yeah, there are, Jim, and they involve the Geelong Footy Club. Nothing by way of change to the Hawthorn, but Geelong out Mackie, out Scott Selwood. Ooh, big outs. Geez. In Sam Simpson and in Zach Guthrie.
So Mackie and Scott Selwood are out of the team for the Cats.
Big outs.
There they are.
Oh, and Scott Selwood, he's just been picked to go back in the side. Has he had a fitness test late and not
made it? He must have. And yep. Mackie's been in very good form. They're big losses.
Matty Scarlett, we can ask him about that shortly. He'll be with Nez. Just had the CEO of the AFL. How did you see all that? In fact, we'll just hold your thoughts because we have got Scarlo down on the boundary and we need to get quickly to him with Neroli Meadows. Nez, welcome to you.
Thank you very much, boys. Yes, I do have Matty Scarlett with me. Can you talk us through those late changes? Why so?
Yes, Scooter. He was named. He got through training really well a couple of days ago, and then only I found out a couple of hours ago his hamstring pulled up a bit sore. So something's happened overnight or from that training session a couple of days ago. And Andrew Mackie as well, he's been dealing with a bit of a wrist injury for a little while, so just got the better of him this week. But the two young guys we brought in played fantastic a couple of weeks ago, and good opportunity for those guys. But it is a couple of big outs for us.
Now, you know that it is Luke Hodges' 300th game today. You'll be hoping to spoil the party, but you must admire him from afar and somebody who's also played up close against him.
Oh, yeah, absolute champion and warrior. One of those players that I wish that he was one of my teammates. 2008, he cost us the premiership almost single-handedly. So massive occasion for Hawthorn. I'm sure they're going to get up for one of their favourite sons. So it's going to be a great challenge for us.
Boys.
Matty, so much going right with the Cats this year. One of the less celebrated components of the makeup at the moment is Jed Buse. And I imagine you've had a fair bit to do with his form this year.
Busey's in fantastic form, mate. He's playing as good as he ever has. He's become one of our most important players. He spent nearly all pre-season training as a forward. We thought he might be able to give our forward line something different and a new look this year. And funnily enough, he's come back into the team as a defender, got his opportunities, playing such good footy. He's improved his running a hell of a lot this year. It's something he did struggle with previously, his fitness base. He worked really hard on that over the pre-season, and he's in ripping form. He's been fantastic.
Hey, Scullo, has there been any talk about the fact that you're obviously up in the Gold Coast last weekend, you had a really good win, a big win, and then you're coming back now to the MCG to what will be, as you said, Luke Hodges 300th. It'll be a hard start. Has that been mentioned during the week?
Oh, it has, Duck, yeah. Look, we had a game last week that, no disrespect to Brisbane, it turned out quite easy in the end with the margin, so... We're under no illusions how hard today is going to be. Hawthorn are in terrific form, and these two teams always have great clashes here. So back at the G, we haven't played well here consistently for a while now, so we have spoken about that. We've trained really well this week, so all signs are pointing to us playing some good footy.
And you mentioned Buse. Tui has been a great player, great pickup, actually arguably the recruit of the year with a man that you're up against in Tom Mitchell on the other side, but he's been fantastic.
Been unbelievable, mate. I quite often laugh at some of these All-Australian teams that I see, and his name's not in some of them, which is unbelievable. He's been fantastic. He's a ripper person, slotted into our back line really well. He's really good mates with Lockie Henderson. He's doing great things for our footy club on and off the field, and he's been super.
10.5 wins, Scarlo. Got a tough month coming up. I know you take it 1 month at a time, of course. Hawthorn, Adelaide, Carlton, Sydney. So that's a tough month. In terms of capability of this side, where do you think they're performing at the moment?
Yeah, I think we're performing really well, mate. I think early in the year we had those three poor games. Our defence was quite ordinary. Just our pressure around the footy was average as well. So we think we've fixed that up. We're defending really strongly. We're scoring pretty easily as well off the back of our good defence, and we're really strong around the footy, obviously with Joel and Paddy and those guys around the ball. So I think we're playing pretty consistent footy, which we probably haven't been able to say about us for a couple of years. So we think we're playing some good footy.
Matty, obviously you've got a particular focus on players who play in the back line. Duck before said Michael Hurley is in outstanding form and is one of the all-time greats in this context of this season. Obviously Alex Rance is putting together an amazing career. Who do you like watching most down back, Scully?
Oh, Rancey, yeah. I think Alex is the one that I love watching him play. I think he's the best defender in the competition by a long way. And then Hurley as well. He's in fantastic form. And Harry Taylor, who has spent most of the year up forward, has come down into the back line in the last few weeks. I think they're the three standout key defenders in the competition. But, I think Rancey's got them all covered, and I'm sure Harry Taylor wouldn't get too angry at me saying that.
Hey, Scarlo, why don't you play better here? Is it the width of the ground? What's the internal sort of thinking on that?
Yeah, a bit of everything, mate. Our ball use hasn't been flash here. We've turned the ball over in really poor positions, which then is really hard to defend off the back of it. We've found we've dumped the ball in the centre forward from too far out. Then we've been opened up off the back of it. Also, a bit of personnel change. We'll see Blitz running out on the wings today. Obviously, he's a really good runner. I just don't think we've set up the ground as well as we could have and given the players the best opportunity to play well here. So we've addressed that. I'm really confident that we'll play well today.
Good luck, mate, against a great opponent. We can't wait.
Thanks, guys.
Matty Scarlett, superstar for Geelong and now part of the Lion coaching at that club.
Spoke really well. No,
you forget how good he was.
Yeah.
He was, you know, you talk about Rance.
Yeah, yeah.
He was a superstar.
Brilliant. Hey, let's get back to Gil McLachlan. What did you think, Damo?
We just saw how Rory was, wasn't he? And that's just obviously the personal side of what we just discussed with him there. But I must admit, I'm surprised he's going overseas. And I say that in the context that the AFL is always referring to the optics of a situation and the lens they have on it. Well, I don't think the optics on this are good for him to be doing it. Again, I don't begrudge anyone the right to go and get a much-needed break, but on the back of a week where he's had to effectively sack two friends...
What is there left for him to do, though?
Well, Brian, there's the possibility of more chapters and layers to this story. Now whether they're just digging deeper to what's already been revealed or whether there's going to be other components to it, and I know there's at least one other media outlet looking at other aspects of this situation. If he's in the air when something else of a significant nature drops, I don't think it's a great look. And again, that's my opinion. He's got every right to go and do what he does. But to use the AFL terminology, Jim, the optics on this don't look good to me as an outsider, given the week they've had. And this, don't forget, as he referred to himself, only 10 days earlier, Ali Fahour, another executive, had to also leave the AFL system for behavioural matters. Yep. To me, it's not the time your CEO goes away.
He looked drained and finished. You know what? He just looked like he needed a break.
So therefore, what, sit around here and you know, be glutton like he was there, or go on a holiday? Like he said, he doesn't give a stuff. And I agree with him. I agree with him. I wouldn't give a stuff. Go away, have a holiday, come back refreshed. And because right now, in the frame of mind, and you saw, he looks a broken man.
He did look broken. He did.
And he needs a break. And so, geez, you can't begrudge a bloke wanting to get away from
it. I don't think Dermo's begrudging him. All he's saying is the vulnerability in the situation is if something else breaks on this particular over the next 72 hours and your CEO's in the Northern Hemisphere, that's all you're saying. You're not saying he's not entitled to a break.
It's not, none of it's life and death sort of stuff, and I'm sure other people can handle it for a week.
Well, I don't know, Doug, because there's now no footy operations.
It's life and death.
No, it's not life and
Come
death.
Come on, we're talking
there's
about
now
a,
no footy operations
we're talking about
manager.
A game of footy. If you're telling me the CEO can't go for a holiday, irrespective of what breaks.
This is the worst week any AFL CEO's had for a very long time.
Oh, please. Come on, let him, you know what?
It's about, there's a leadership component to it too, Duck. I can't imagine you as North Melbourne Footy Club captain walking away under the same circumstances.
I get it, Damo. I think, like I said, he's the frame of mind that we just saw Gil in, you're telling me it's a good thing for him to be here.
I think he needs to be here.
No, disagree.
Well, I hear both of your arguments, to be honest. And, you know, the personal side of me says, yeah, for God's sake, get a break into you and come back, you know, because you've had a hell of a month. But I'm hearing you, Purple. I think the cricket situation we've just seen is a classic example of that. The horrendous situation that the players in Cricket Australia find themselves in, I thought it was a very bad look that James Sutherland was in England while all of this was happening. I'm like, mate, you've got to get back here.
You're the man.
And be seen to be sorting this out, because otherwise the gap just gets wider and the perception is that your leader's not there to sort it out.
We're talking about the good of the game in that situation, completely different circumstances.
Well, we will have lots to discuss on this front, I'm sure, Purple. The papers will be full of it for the next 6 weeks.
They will be, Jim. And again, there could well be more as early as tomorrow, potentially. It may not amount to anything either, but I know that there's other inquiries being made.
And the running of the game is the other thing that's of great interest. I mean, his org structure has been thrown into chaos. It had anyway, with Dougie Evans being taken away and all of the moves that happened within the off-season of this year. So to then get it back and settle, and now have it completely napalmed again is it's a hell of a time.
And 6 weeks away from a final series, no footy operations manager, and if they do go down to club land and they want to take one of the people out of one of the finalists...
Well, they'll be headless.
Well, that person, I would think, would not be able to leave his or her club right now because of the finals requirements and the responsibilities and the contract that they've all signed to stay. So it's every chance that they'll have to get through the finals without a footy operations boss.
Bristle, I just got the feeling as we rolled in that something had caught your eye.
Yes.
And I like it when it does.
Well, I was, in my little office up there in Monageda.
Yes.
I was trolling through the internet. And
trolling.
All the copies of all the magazines I get, Duck. I get them all. Picks, what, no. Post.
Men's Health.
Post.
Men's Health.
Men's Health.
Men's Health.
Yeah. Is Post still a magazine?
Hustler.
Post.
Hustler.
Oh, no.
Used to get Mayfair. Just joking. Don't get any of those.
Yes.
But a very fresh article appeared before my eyes in one of these Pixie-style magazines. And it was on our mate Damo, and it was Damien. It was titled "Damien Barrett and the Sounding Board." And we all remember the world record when Dermot Brereton was involved in being interviewed in an article of eyes. And Dermot had 42 eyes in the one article. And we thought that that was something to be not sniffed at because, you know, that was quite an achievement to be able to get yourself in 42 times in one article.
Well, I actually haven't seen this, but
we have found a man here in our own Damien Barrett, Purple. He's easily surpassed the 42.
No way, couldn't have.
In only a, what is it, quickly, it's a 12-paragraph article.
No. So, and he's gone past the 42 set by the great man.
Yes, he has. He's gone past that well and truly. So just to give you a little, I didn't want to do an extension to my contract. I have asked him about things he's revealed. I didn't know what he meant. I trust he heard it. I get it right most of the time.
Oh, don't! No, I would have said all of the time.
I was very settled at the Herald Sun, but the
you're making this up.
The fantasizer got me. I thought I would miss writing, but I have done well in the electronic.
Oh, did
field.
I say that? Yeah.
I never thought I'd be able to do the electronic, but I have proven to myself that I am good.
As if
I... No. I am a little old school. I like
I
the written
school.
Word with my own scribbly handwriting. I am capable of producing my own shows as well.
I did not say that.
And ask the questions.
I did not say
I
that.
I don't like it when someone who hasn't played the game gets told, what you know, I don't know the game very well, but I do know the game very well. So a bit of a contradiction there. And I don't ever take it too seriously because I am... Damien Barrett.
Oh.
And that's just a few of the eyes.
Can I have a look at that?
That's just a few of the eyes in there. No. This is just gold, Damo, that you have got in there and you have now become completely out of control. He's got to know with JB. It happened while you're away, but he's been given the big grand final breakfast gig at Crown, Casino. Where
not hosting.
Yeah.
Right, Brian.
The whole thing.
This is your domain.
Yeah, he's been given
I didn't know it was hosting. I might have to revisit that.
Because, Bristol, that has been your specialty. In fact, I was going to speak to you about that because I've been locked away with the North Melbourne one for the last 10 years and it's probably cost me a shekel or two. So I was going to say to you, Bristol, I'm back in the hunt.
Well, I have heard, though, that he's been put on a tryout fee, which is significantly smaller than our previous fees, JP.
I like it. I like it. So, well, that is amazing, Purple. I didn't think of all the people that would surpass the greatest eye specialist of all time himself, it would be you.
Now, I'm not sure I had 42.
All right, time for us to hit the sting back there.
Yep.
Oven on. Knives at the ready. Time to roast duck.
I like it. Is it the beautiful Hose Mary, by the way, back in the studio? Thanks for that, Hose.
Now,
you're a superstar. Go on.
Short, succinct, and real answers.
Thanks, right. BT.
Get us underway, BT.
Joe Danaher's mark. Was it the mark of the year?
Yes, it was.
Is there a role for Joe Watson and Essendon's best 22?
Yes.
If BT had asked you the same stupid questions he asked Jason Dunster, would you have answered any of them?
Very similar to Jason, I would have thought.
Should James Hird be allowed to present the Norm Smith medal?
Yes, he should. It's gone in order. He's the next one in line.
Dane Zorko, if he played for a Melbourne club, would we in Melbourne rate him a lot higher?
I 100% we would. I know people don't think that, but I'll tell you what he's done. 8 times this year, he's had 25 disposals and kicked multiple goals. You know how many times Dangerfield's done it? 6. You know how many times Dusty Martin's done it? 5. Mm. So he's surpassing those two in that area.
A little expensive.
It's expensive, but I like it. If the Bulldogs lose tomorrow, do they wipe out 17 and start looking to next year?
Yes.
Personally, I think Joe Danaher is going to be one of the great forwards. Tim O'Brien, I think, will end up better than you as well, Duck. Both of them. Would you agree that both of them have the potential to be better than you?
Well, if Joe gets another 15 possessions a game and does it for another 8 years, yes.
Oh boy,
Can Richmond Duck win the flag based on some of the aspects of what they dished up against St Kilda?
Not if they dish that up. That's obvious.
But based on that, can they win the flag?
Well, that was the one bad game. Based on their best footy, they can.
Rodney Eade, Nathan Buckley. Will either of them be coaching their clubs next year?
Highly doubtful.
Is it possible that John Longmire could end up coaching in Melbourne in the next couple of years?
Well, good question. I can't see him leaving Sydney. He's had too much success, and he's half rebuilt this side. Well, there's a lot of new guys in this team.
That's not the question.
Well, as I say, the answer's no.
Is Sydney a genuine contender, provided they beat GWS tonight?
They beat GWS. They're one game off top four. They beat GWS. They can make top four. So the answer is yes.
Harley Bunnell.
Love to see him back.
Roaming Bryan. If he was to take it onto the open market and sell it,
which he's trying to do,
what would it be worth?
Well, unfortunately, there's only one Roaming Bryan. So without Roaming Bryan, I don't think it would get too much on the open market. But, for instance, if he went and sold it to another network, you mean?
Yes.
Oh, hot property.
If you had one player to pick from the 2001 Super Draft, so that's Chris Judd, Luke Ball and Luke Hodge at the very sharp end of it, who would you take?
I think Judd's the better footballer out of all of those guys. Hodge is the best leader out of those guys.
Are you a little jealous at the publicity that Juddy's getting in Triple M at the moment, and you've been put on the back burner?
I'm more than happy to be low key. Right. Fly under the this duck likes flying under the radar.
Third person himself. We haven't heard that for a while.
Well, see, that's what Johnny's been doing all Friday nights this year. He's been third-person himself every second sentence.
You were very quiet during the Gillan interview too. We don't like getting involved in that stuff.
No.
That's a demo thing.
Yes.
Well,
that's a demo thing.
I thought Jim did a very good job there too.
He did. It was a tense interview.
It was very tense.
Well, it's one of the things you'd sign on for, unfortunately, demo, when you take these roles. These weeks come at you out of nowhere half the time, and I thought he actually handled it very, very well. Gil,
JB, will you go on holidays again mid-year?
No. I always get the middle of the school holidays off, so I get 40, 1 week off. One weekend
only goes 26 weeks. One Why do you need to take 2 weeks off?
I get 1 weekend off middle of the year because that's the school holidays. I go away with the kids.
My kids have school holidays.
Damo's slightly different, but unlike the rest of you, I also work in the summer.
So here's me. This is me this
you
morning.
You lot just have 6 months
so
off.
So 9 o'clock this morning. I'm shooting down to Riddles Creek. There's an under-18 game at 10 o'clock. So I get to see my son play one half of one quarter.
How'd he go?
Today. I don't know. He barely, he touched it.
But it's a privilege to do what you do. Don't talk about it.
So why can't I get a week off?
You can.
You probably can.
But you need to then lump yourself in that same diatribe you gave Jim last week and others who did.
Who'd do Roaming Bryan?
you're that tight. You don't want to take a week off.
Who's bought the Chinese in
True.
Recent weeks?
Yeah, no, I'm only joking. You're not tight, I know. I just didn't know what else to say.
Hey. Yes. Speaking of tight, you're looking tighter than ever in the skin.
Yeah, I've really...
You're not eating
I've
at
really
the moment.
I'm getting
tighter
fit.
Tighter than ever in the skin.
I'm getting really fit. You notice the shirt?
I have noticed the buttons threatening to unfold.
What do you reckon that shirt size is, Jim? You're a fashion man.
It's medium.
That'd be
it can't
a 30,
be any bigger than
39,
medium.
I reckon. For a bloke who should be at a 46.
It most certainly is a large, but I'm just getting larger.
That's Luke Hodge, the number one draft pick, number 15 for the Hawks.
My uncle actually summed that up when I think Juddy retired and Boyd retired. Who would have guessed the fat, slow one's still going?
Drop punt on the way. Oh, look at the statement made by Luke Hodge.
We mentioned about once in a generation type of players. Hodge certainly does.
Hodge turned over again, gets to the kick in. Hodge marks. Hodge goes. Oh, what is going on here at the MCG?
Ever since I was a kid, I've wanted to play at the MCG.
To the ground and Hodge off the stand. Luke Hodge, grand final superstar, brings the house down.
You've been an absolute stalwart for the competition, so well done.
You're a true legend.
We all look up to you. You are one of the greats.
You're a superstar, all the best.
The winner of the Norm Smith Medal.
The winner of the 2014 Norm Smith Medal,
Luke Hodge.
I've given the footy club everything I can. When I sit down at the end of the year and have a couple of beers with the boys, I think a few memories might come up.
Has been one of the all-time greats of the competition, let alone the Hawthorn Footy Club. Luke Hodge, big celebration for him today, as it should be, but also the back end of the season will be exactly that. Whether the Hawks are able to scramble their way into the finals or whether he farewells us round 23 purple, I don't think it matters necessarily. His legacy is set.
And if anything, if it's at all possible, Jim, he's actually enhancing it, isn't he, the past 2 months with how he's banded together around that back line, BT, and brought... others into it.
Yeah, do you think there was anything that prompted her all of a sudden, Damo, or you just thought he'd had enough?
No, I feel, BT, and he's always a bit guarded with what he says publicly, but I feel he had made the decision himself off-season. He certainly had indicated that to some people who were very close to him, but I think his form got to a point where it might have actually been a half reconsideration, but then he went back to plan A, and it's the right call, isn't it, with where he and the club is at.
The Hawks go into today without one of their most important players over the journey, their versatile sort of swingman defender, Ben Stratton, who joins us now. Welcome, Strats.
Thanks, guys.
What are you rolling with at the minute, please? You've fixed your hair up, which is a good thing, but now the beard's sort of fully back.
Yeah, the beard's back. I mean, myself and Chipper Frawley said when we got injured we'd grow it until we played again, and I thought I was sweet to shave it off against Collingwood when I was meant to play, but I didn't end up playing, and now I won't play till round one next year, so I'm in a bit of strife, I reckon.
And what, just for people who don't know, why is that? What's physically wrong with you?
Just the knee. It's my bung knee from 2011, so just a bit of cartilage has come off and it's floating around in there, so it's just got to settle down a bit.
Now, Bristol,
You know, this is the craft beer, man.
This is the Noble Boy beer, and also, of course, got a record label going that I'm half aware of. But
DJ style.
What I want to talk to you about is that when you go away for a week, which I did, mm-hmm. and you leave your house in the hands of your 23-year-old son, and then you suddenly get some photos sent to you about what occurred while you're away, what you don't want to see in the photo is some other people in your house, Doug.
Really?
While you're away.
Oh.
Strats, you know anything about anything I'm talking about?
It was a small gathering at your house, I believe. A very nice house. Just a couple of acres gathering. In Hawthorne.
Small gathering.
What I'm interested in is the couple of acres in Hawthorne.
Yeah, very nice house.
Small gathering.
Damo, you couldn't see any of the house in the background that there were so many people in the photo, and there was one bearded unit in there. That, as long as you didn't get anywhere near my cellar, Strats, that's all I care about.
No, we didn't make it to the cellar, but the Akubra hat, I didn't mind.
What was his music collection like in the CD rack there and the old LPs?
We didn't get to that either because the DJ decks were set up on the kitchen table and we were just playing a few music.
Mayhem in my own joint while I'm away. Speaking of which, we're going to get to footy in a sec, but tell us about the craft beer, you and Joe Danaher, Noble Boy.
Yep, the beer's going well. We're in about 10 pubs now, mostly Northside, one now in off Chapel Street, Lucky Cop. And we've got a cider coming out in about a month, and cans coming out in September, just in time.
How
for
many
spring.
Barrels a month do you need to reach before CUB buy it off you?
So that's the plan. Let's hope for that. But no, we're just a small stages at the moment, and it's pretty fun.
What sort of cider? Apple, pear?
Apple cider made with real apples.
Real apples?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
You got it in Bristol's local, the Napier.
Yeah, the Napier.
You would hope apple cider's made with some real apples. But
well, you'd be surprised. There's a lot out there that are made with concentrate. So.
Yeah, I know.
And the record label, just before we get to the actual reason you're in here, you've got horse tapes. Or what? Tell us about this, please.
Yeah, so I've got horse tapes, which I've started with your reptile son, and it's pretty fun. We just get a DJ in once a month to record a set at my house, and then we put it up on SoundCloud. And anyone that likes sort of house and techno music, get onto horse tapes, and it's pretty fun at the moment. And we've also got...
Has anyone got onto it?
Yes, I have.
So
jump on Instagram, Bristol.
I listen to Smooth. So would this be a would this be the type of music that I'd listen to?
I don't think so.
I didn't think so.
You got a bit of publicity at the start of the year about your DJing, and at that stage, I believe you were using your own name in the promotional flyers that went out attached to such events. Is it possible you now go a little bit more incognito?
I just had radio with Caroline, and I thanked her for getting my name out there as a DJ. I have gone a little alias name, but there'd be no point telling you what that is or there. I don't know. The club, they're not, they're happy with me doing stuff outside of footy. It's just I've got to let them know and be smart about it. Yep. That's
trying
a passion
to let your network do the talking, are you, rather than the name?
Yeah, that's it. Let the music talk.
Interesting, the bookings. Have they gone up or down since you've gone incognito? What's happened with the bookings?
No, I actually got a lot of requests after that stuff came out earlier in the year. But Yeah, obviously you can't do too much when you're playing, but now I've got a bit of free time up my sleeves. I don't know, see what happens.
Get back to your own setup. From a rehabbing point of view, do you need further surgery? Is it just time off before you come back? What happens between you and round one?
Just a little clean out to get that cartilage out. And then, yeah, it's pretty basic. I'll be up and running within 3 or 4 weeks after that surgery and be sweet, complete a full pre-season and right to go.
So are you worried about, because modern surgery with meniscus is much more trying to repair it and keep it in there than the old days in Brian's day where they just ripped it all out and then you're a cripple age 45. Have you got concerns when you get older that you're going to be able to walk up a hill?
Oh, I reckon because of my previous injury in 2011, the reconstruction, I think possibly, but... Yeah, who knows? I'm pretty keen to just sort of get the most out of my last couple of years, three or whatever years it is, and then we'll worry about that later. But, yeah, it's because of my bung knee. It's just got to settle down a little bit.
The progress of the club this year, obviously you've had to watch a lot of it from the sidelines, but what do you make of it now that we hit into round 17 and the ups and downs you've clearly had, both good and bad?
Yeah, obviously a rough start, and it was a bit up and down at the club, but I think... It just seems like the shackles have been released a little bit and we've got into a little bit of a different stage, playing some young kids, which is good, getting some games into them. So for next year and the year after, especially the back line, watching those young boys has been pretty impressive, and Hodgie sort of playing a fatherly figure down there has been equally impressive. So watching that go on and sort of working with those boys, it's been pretty pleasing.
How's Gunston gone in that new role that he's got down back? Does he like it deep down?
I think he likes the change up, I suppose, and the bit of a challenge for him. I don't know. He's asked lots of questions. He's a pretty smart footballer, and the way we play, I think, actually suits him. And we just tell him to run off and sort of play his game. He's a good mark overhead, so those intercept marks we'll be looking for. And I don't know if he'll stay down there too much longer, but it seemed to work last week, and excited to see how he goes again.
Strats, we all marvel at Luke Hodge from afar. We just watch, the 2 hours of the game, and it's extraordinary. And then when he speaks with such great passion and authority. What's he like to play with? What's he been like? Your whole career has been with him. Tell us about that.
Yeah, I suppose reflecting on that, when you're not playing, you've got a bit of time to just think about that. And been sort of lucky enough to play one game, let alone one game with Hodgie, but 8 seasons and being down back there with most of it. You learn a lot off him. Probably his leadership skills stand out the most for me. And I sort of look up to him in that regard, and just the way he attacks the footy. And these young boys, they'll be making every opportunity just to learn as much as they can off him for the last 7 games and just pick his brain for everything.
Talking about young fellas, Burton, been a breakout year for him. Will he end up a defender, or do you think at some stage we'll end up forward?
I'd like to think he'd stay as a defender, and I think he loves it down there. And the biggest change for him, I think, was sort of getting those games in a row, and then he sort of felt a part of it, and he's a pretty confident boy. He just needed a little bit of that confidence, and he's away. So been very impressed with him, and hopefully he stays a defender.
All right, Strats, we need to let you go. Thanks for dropping by. Good luck with everything coming up. Just the off-field entrepreneurial style work you're doing. Hopefully the ship will come in. And especially with the record label, because that might mean that my leech of a son doesn't keep putting his hand out for my cash, Brian, and starts making some of his own.
Yes.
Well done, Benny. Good to see you always, mate.
Thanks, guys. Shut up. The footy's on Triple M. Triple M rocks football.